ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Going to be reading this morning from Canto 1, Chapter 8, text number 19. This is the second of Queen Kunti's prayers to Krishna. And you'll just have to listen to the Sanskrit because it's not written on the board.
Maya javanika chanam avyadhyokshacham avyayam nalakshase muta drisha natho nadyat rato yata.
Being beyond the range of limited sense perception, you are the eternally irreproachable factor covered by the curtain of deluding energy. You are invisible to the foolish observer, exactly as an actor dressed as a player is not recognized. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Sri Krishna affirms that less intelligent persons mistake him to be an ordinary man like us, and thus they deride him. The same is confirmed herein by Queen Kunti. The less intelligent persons are those who rebel against the authority of the Lord. Such persons are known as asuras. The asuras cannot recognize the Lord's authority. When the Lord himself appears amongst us as Rama, Nrisimha, Varaha, or in his original form as Krishna, he performs many wonderful acts which are humanly impossible. As we shall find in the 10th canto of this great literature, Lord Sri Krishna exhibited his humanly impossible activities even from the days of his lying in the lap of his mother. He killed the Putana witch, although she smeared her breast with poison just to kill the Lord. The Lord sucked her breast like a natural baby, and then he sucked out her very life also. Similarly, he lifted the Govardhan hill just as a boy picks up a frog's umbrella and stood several days continuously just to give protection to the residents of Vrindavan. These are some of the superhuman activities of the Lord described in the authoritative Vedic literature like the Puranas, Itihasas, and Upanishads. He has delivered wonderful instructions in the shape of Bhagavad Gita. He has shown marvelous capacities as a hero, as a householder, as a teacher, and as a renouncer. He is accepted as the Supreme Personality of Godhead by such authoritative personalities like Vyasa Devala Asita Narada Madhava Shankar Ramanuja Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Jiva Goswami Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and all other authorities of the line. He himself has declared as much in many places of the authentic literatures. And yet, there's a class of men with demoniac mentality who are always reluctant to accept the Lord as the supreme absolute truth. This is partially due to their poor fund of knowledge and partially due to their stubborn obstinacy, which results from various misdeeds in the past and present. Such persons could not recognize Lord Sri Krishna even when he was present before them. Another difficulty is that Those who depend more on their imperfect senses cannot realize Him as the Supreme Lord. Such persons are like the modern scientists. They want to know everything by their experimental knowledge, but it is not possible to know the Supreme Person now, for a Supreme Person, by imperfect experimental knowledge. He is described herein as advoksaja, or beyond the range of experimental knowledge. All our senses are imperfect. We claim to observe everything and anything, but we must admit that we can observe things under certain material conditions only, which are also beyond our control. The Lord is beyond the observation of sense perception. Queen Kunti accepts this deficiency of the conditioned soul, especially of the women class, who are less intelligent. For less intelligent men, there must be such things as temples, mosques, and churches, so that they may begin to recognize the authority of the Lord and hear about Him from authorities in such holy places. For less intelligent men, this beginning of spiritual life is essential, and only foolish men decry the establishment of such places of worship which are required to raise the standard of spiritual attributes for the mass of people. For less intelligent persons, bowing down before the authority of the Lord as generally is done in the temples, mosques, and churches, is as beneficial as it is for the advanced devotees to meditate upon Him by active service. End of report. Again, the verse. Maya javani kachanam anad hoksajam avyayam nalakshase mudha drisha nato nadyantaro yata. Being beyond the range of limited sense perception, you are the eternally irreproachable factor, covered by the curtain of the deluding energy. You are invisible to the foolish observer, exactly as an actor dressed as a player is not recognized. The previous verse, the opening verse of Queen Kunti's prayers, is where Kunti is addressing her nephew, Krishna. Nephew because Kunti's brother is Vasudeva, and Vasudeva is the father of Krishna, so Krishna is her nephew. You're appearing as if you're my nephew, but I understand you as the Paramatma. I offer my obeisances unto you because Krishna came before Kunti and was offering his obeisances to her, or touching her feet, showing respect, because he's the nephew, he's the younger, she's the, like, his father's sister, his aunt. He's, as the younger, he's offering respect to the elder. And she's turning around and offering respect to him, and giving the reasons why. I'm offering my obeisances unto you because you are the original personality and are unaffected by the qualities of the material world. You are existing both within and without everything, in and outside of everything. Yet you are invisible to all. Invisible to all, she's now qualifying in this verse. Invisible to all, meaning they don't see you properly. not like the other kind of invisible, like walking along and walk right through him because he's invisible or something. But invisible in the sense of not having the proper understanding that she has, that he's the source of everything. And as the source of everything, you've expanded yourself as the Paramatma, so you're entering within the heart of every atom of everything that's material. And you're also existing outside in your feature as the original source of everything. Bhagavan feature, Paramatma feature are both your features. Most people don't see you properly. And now this verse. They don't see you properly because you are adhoksanja. There's other names mentioned here, but one of them is adhoksanja. And adhoksanja. Akshanja means eyes, and adhoksanja means beyond the range of the eyes, or beyond sense perception. If he's beyond sense perception, then how can he be seen? The answer is flight. He's seen wrongly as the deluding potency. Maya Javanika. Javanika means curtain, the curtain of Maya. Naham prakasha sarvaja yoga maya samavata mudho yam nabhi janati. Krishna describes in Bhagavad Gita that foolish persons do not see Krishna properly. They think that he has manushyam taramashritam. He has assumed a human-like form, manu, human. So, as far as Krishna is concerned, that's the conception of a fool, mudha, or worse, rascal. I'm deliberately foolish. So, and there are many commentators of Bhagavad Gita that go right down that path and say exactly that, even though Krishna says they're fools. They say impersonalism. They say the absolute truth has no form. It's formless. And when the formless accepts a human-like form, that's Krishna. But actually, the absolute truth is formless, the unborn within Krishna. There's never any statement where Krishna speaks about his inside and his outside. Rather, his form is absolute. He is absolute and his form is absolute. So there's no, it's a false distinction. There's no such distinction, inside-outside. For us, there's an inside-outside. The soul is within, and the body is covering the soul. That's us. For Krishna, there's no inside-outside. His form and he himself are the same, because he's absolute. That's the meaning. This is not absolute, this is duality. There's the body, the covering, and there's the soul that's being covered. There's two. For Krishna, it's absolute, it's not two. So, not being empowered by Krishna, not being allowed by Krishna to see his form. He can pull back the curtain, or he can keep the curtain closed. And so the metaphor is used like an actor on a stage. There's a nice example in Chaitanya Bhagavat. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was performing a drama, not only he was performing, he was the director, he was the costume designer, he designed the choreography, he was one of the chief actors, and when he was on the stage performing the role of the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, and his mother was in the audience, his mother was looking at the stage and saying, "Who is that?" And when she saw Haridas Thakur as a constable, "Who is that?" And Srivas Thakur as Narada Muni, "Who is that?" So although she was intimately familiar with all those personalities, she couldn't even recognize her own son. She fainted because she was attracted by the message of the drama, the goddess of fortune, performing on stage. So, sometimes, when the Lord appears, by his deluding potency, persons can't see him as he is. Although they see him, they don't see him as he is. Why? He's beyond the range of sense perception. Adhokshacha. And how can they see him? They're seeing his deluding potency. But for those who are devotees, he removes the deluding potency. He may be the actor on the stage, he allows them to very clearly understand who he is. Another very nice example of that, the latter one, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Lord Chaitanya, during the Rath Yatra procession of Lord Jagannath, he established 7 different kirtan parties. So many in front, on the side, and behind, each of them with a mridanga player, kartra players, and dancers, and 2 singers, because they didn't have amplification. They just had 2 singers. And when the kirtan became tumultuous, Lord Chaitanya expanded himself simultaneously in each of those 7 kirtan parties. The members of those kirtan parties could see Lord Chaitanya in their kirtan party, and they were thinking, "He's so attached to us, he just stays in our kirtan party." And the next kirtan party was thinking the same thing, the same thing, the same thing. But Lord Chaitanya disclosed to Maharaj Prataparudra what he was doing. That he was in each one of the 7 kirtan parties simultaneously, dancing. Not the same dance either. Like, different expressions simultaneously. Very much like, as it's described in the purport, Krishna's pastime as a householder. It's a pastime. In that pastime, he married 16,108 queens. And who can do that? And not only 16,108 queens, he had palaces for each one. And not only that, he was simultaneously with each one of them. Who can do that? Narada Muni went to visit Krishna in Dwarka once, just to have association with his Lord. And he was astounded when he saw not only was Krishna in each one of the palaces, but by the arrangements of his internal potency, it was different times of the day, at the same time of the day. Like this question of time that we were discussing yesterday at the Bhakti Center. It was different times of the day. Sometimes it was at night. Then he'd go to the next place. Sometimes it was he's just going into the assembly in the morning house, assembly house in the morning. Sometimes he was just getting out of bed. Sometimes, different times, different situations. As we say these days, Narada was blown away. Narada could understand, my Lord has inconceivable potencies. He's at Hoksucha, he's beyond the capacity of blunt material senses to perceive matter. Blunt material senses can imperfectly perceive blunt matter, dull matter. But blunt material senses cannot perceive spirit. So they saw something. They saw his deluding potency. They saw through that agency. But the same agency can change, as with Narada or King Pratapa Rudra. And one can see what the Lord is actually doing. And see him as the Lord, who is beyond the range of the senses. The previous verse is beyond the modes of nature. So, beyond matter. The modes of nature are conditioning all living beings, except one. He who is the source of those modes of nature, who is the controller of them. And when the Supreme Lord withdraws that modes of nature potency, then those liberated souls are also beyond the modes of nature. But it's at the prerogative of the personality of Godhead. So Kunti understands that about him. And she's mentioning that there are those that don't. Another qualifier that is used is in addition to adhoksaja, or he who is beyond the range of material senses, is avyayam in this verse. Ajna adhoksajam avyayam. Avyayam is translated in a number of different ways. It's used in Bhagavad Gita as a description of Krishna as inexhaustible. Inexhaustible as in the invocation mantra of Vishupanishad. Om Purnamadak Purnamidam Purnat Purnam Udachate. Although the Purnam, the complete whole, expands to so many complete units, each of those complete units is as complete as the original, and the original is not depleted. Inexhaustible. Or 1 - 1 = 1. Which doesn't work with material mathematics, but with spiritual mathematics, the original one, because he's avyayam, he's inexhaustible. When he expands, it's not depleted. We'll do it this way. Prabhupada describes how the impersonalists consider the absolute. He said it's like you take a piece of paper and you rip the little piece of paper into little pieces and you disperse the little pieces out onto the floor. So it's just a scattered mess on the floor like some kids were just playing. And the original paper is gone. So this message of avyayam, Kunti's understanding Krishna's position is avyayam, is the way that I like to think of it is, if you have something that's so big, and you take away something, it's so big, it's not reduced at all. And anything material, however big something is, you take something away, it's reduced. But Krishna's position is, he's avyayam. You take away something, and he's not reduced. Because that something is taken away, it's not taken away, it's just an expansion of him. It's part of him. Even this dull matter, we can't say the table is God. But we can say it's God's energy. It's part of God. It's part of His energy. as Krishna expanded, as Lord Chaitanya expanded into the different dancers in the Rath Yatra, or Krishna expanded into each one of the husbands of the wives of Dwarka, in the morning, the 16,108 Krishnas got up, performed his morning spiritual activity, meditating upon the Absolute Truth, who happened to be himself. And then all 16,108 forms of Krishna merged into one form of Krishna and went into the assembly house and sat along the side of Uprasenya, presiding over the affairs of Dwarka. And in the assembly, he expanded again to 16,108 forms of Krishna and went back into his palaces. No problem. He's inexhaustible. It's not like, you know, it's a weak, really weakened version of each one of the Krishnas that went into the palaces with his queens. It's full. Because he's inexhaustible. Although he's expanded within the heart of every living being, whatever is in the heart of every living being is not a diminished form of Krishna. He's complete. So now, this deluding potency, the deluding potency doesn't allow one, even when seeing Krishna, or even when hearing about Krishna, or when factual knowledge of Krishna is presented, to receive it properly, because one is, has one's Maya filter on, and the spiritual energy isn't cognizable for one who has his Maya filter on. So Prabhupada is explaining, even when he didn't become God. That's another foolish notion. God doesn't become God. He was God in the lap of his mother, killing the Putana demon. He was God when he lifted Govardhan Hill. Small boy, 5-6 years old, lifting a mountain. No such thing. So, in the material world, so the materialist thinking, oh, that's fiction. It's mythology for some reason. Something, some moral lesson they want to tell. They made a nice story to tell children and foolish childlike people. Not recognizing his actual position. Kunti is recognizing his actual position. Prabhupada is giving a list of the great acharyas throughout history who have similarly accepted Krishna as the supreme personality of Godhead, meaning the source of everything, the omnipotent, beyond the range of the senses, inexhaustible supreme. So then he gives different reasons why persons don't accept, besides they have their Maya filter on. They have a poor fund of knowledge, that's one reason. They're just not educated, spiritually educated, so they don't know. Some, they hear it, but they're stubbornly obstinate. That's the mudha. They're determined to remain in ignorance. And what's the good reason that they're stubbornly determined to remain in ignorance? No good reason. It doesn't require a good reason. There isn't a good reason. It's just they're stubborn. And where does that stubbornness come from? Their past misdeeds. And then another is that they're relying on the wrong faculties. They're relying on their imperfect senses. He who is beyond the range of the senses cannot be understood by one who has imperfect senses. But they're relying on their imperfect senses. They're relying on the senses, and those senses are imperfect. So even material things, Prabhupada would often speak about this. What's within this universe, what's secret, what's beyond the universe? What's within this body? What's within, like, something that's very the nearest thing to you? Or the farthest thing, materially, what's the secret of what's beyond? Like, how does a human being digest their food? Make a machine that digests food and assimilates it. He would hold up his hand like this and say, let them make one mosquito. Something that can fly in any direction at will, doesn't need any outside, you know, contraption, device to control it. It can just, by its own will, can go in any direction and it can reproduce itself. A machine that makes another copy without any external input, it just does it. Let them make one mosquito. They want to know everything by their experimental knowledge, but it is not possible to know the Supreme Person by imperfect experimental knowledge. And again, he refers to Ahotsuja. Experimental knowledge, but he who is beyond experimental knowledge can't be known through that medium. The method is wrong, and the instruments of that method are fallible. So if that's true, then how can he be known? And that's explained in Bhagavad Gita. He's known through devotion. Maktyamam abhijanati yavanyasmitatvataha. Tatvataha, I can be known in truth. Through the medium of devotion. Through the medium of devotion, Krishna discloses, I'm like this. It's very simple. Simple for the simple and very difficult for the crooked. And the last part of the purport, he's speaking of the less intelligent men. For less intelligent men, going to the place of, this is the Prakrita Bhakta, the beginning stage of Prakrita, means of property or materially covered beginner. They need the place of worship, the church, temple, mosque, or synagogue, and go there and feel the presence of God there because they're respectful and reverent. They need that. Therefore, there are such places. And as that's as helpful for those persons in that neophyte position, he ends the purport by saying, as for the advanced devotee who is meditating upon him through the medium of active service, I was in Minneapolis not so long ago, and I met the parents of a young devotee who had become a devotee at Northwestern University. And I didn't know what to expect from the parents. I thought I might get the cross-examination program. But they were very nice. It wasn't like that. And towards the end of the discussion, because I had spoken something in the lecture about some experience when I was in college and going for a long Java walk and being absorbed in the holy name and then having this nice appreciation of how the holy name is protecting me and Prabhupada had given that protection and so on. So they made a comment. You know, one thing from what our son is doing was we found a little disturbing, at least curious, as he would speak about moving meditation. In fact, we've only thought of, they didn't say all this, but we've only thought of meditation as something that you sit in a frozen position and everything becomes inert. And then that's meditation. Where the mind goes, is that's meditation. So this moving meditation, you never heard such a thing. But now we can understand it. Because, you know, there's a conception of what spirit is and what spiritual is, and what God is and what godly is. It largely, that's just an impression formed by convention. But transcendental spiritual knowledge isn't convention, it's descending. And as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, it's very rare. Manusha Mansa Sriju Kashtiyatati Sitaya. Out of many thousands of persons, one may even consider endeavoring for spiritual perfection. And of those who have achieved spiritual perfection, hardly one knows the truth. So to have a proper conception of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is most rare, not convention. Or say it the other way around, we should be very, in advance, we should be very clear that the messages that we're hearing in disciplic succession doesn't match what most people overhear, the conventional people. Besides the materialists, even the spiritualists, it's not dissonant, but it's not 100% the same as what conventional people that consider themselves to be spiritualists hold. The largest portion of it is impersonal. And even when there's an idea of person, it's impersonal. Pictures of Krishna. I've had the response many times. He can't look like that. Why he can't look like that? Supposing that's what he looks like, why you can say he can't look like that? Why can't look like that? Tell me why. Well, God is old. Oh, he's got to have a beard. Like, you know, look. Gray hair, bedraggled or something. Or something mystical. Like, you know, a faint face in a cloud, kind of mixed with the lines of the cloud, and somewhere there, oh, there's God. Like, are traps that are passed out to show pictures of God, if they try to depict God. Or A. Lincoln sitting on the big statue of Lincoln Memorial. The judge ruling over the bad people. You're going to go to hell. Something like that. But a youthful, beautiful featured flute player. God can't look like that. So Kunti is explaining why persons think that way, and Prabhupada is assisting with the purport. So we'll end with that, see if there's any discussion.
So you're speaking so much about telling me about inconceivable aspects of things about Krishna that are inconceivable to us. So I was just wondering if you could please explain what aspects of Krishna and Krishna consciousness are conceivable through philosophy of body, which are not, and then why?
Oh, come on. Bhagavad Gita is presented is, and in the way spiritual knowledge in general is presented, is commonly is through metaphor. That is something that we know and something that we don't know. Like the example of the body is like a coat or an outer garment, and one may discard the outer garment and place another garment. Similarly, the souls are giving up bodies and accepting another body. So something that's conceivable, that is to say, within our experience, we can understand that which is beyond our experience through something that's within our experience, and it's something like that. So things that are within our experience, that's conceivable. And it helps us understand that which is inconceivable. So here's another way of answering your question. One of the ways of Bhaktivinoda Thakur teaching, Lord Chaitanya's teaching, was by way of song. And then after the song, they would have a dialogue. The dialogue was written so that the village elder could read. And it was, the format was same standard format, question-answer format. Who is Lord Chaitanya? Answer. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna himself, who has come to deliver the Yuga Dharma, the chanting of the holy name. What are the main teachings of Lord Chaitanya? Answer. And so when it gets into the consideration of the potencies of Krishna, there's detailed questions, detailed answers, further questions on those answers, further detailed answers to those detailed questions. And then one question says, I thought you said that this is all inconceivable, but you explained it so nicely, it's very easily understandable. Then the answer that's given is, when the energies of the Supreme Lord begin moving, then these distinctions that have just been made are lost. Meaning, we become bewildered by the movements of the external energy. And so the conceptions that we may have, which are perhaps correct and theoretically at least, the inconceivable nature of the Supreme Lord is how he's doing all these things. Although we can describe how he's doing all these things, to actually have that experience, it's beyond the capacity of the mind to conceive of it, although one can describe it. And in that sense, it's all inconceivable. While saying at the same time, it can be described, so we can have some conception of the inconceivable. But when Krishna is actually performing his activities, even the activity of creation, by the influence of the deluding potency, we can't hold that conception. We can't appreciate the fullness of Krishna. Anything else? Yes.
So how is it that Bhakti was able to understand Krishna as the Supreme Master?
Krishna gave that understanding to her.
So it was no qualification of her own?
It was her qualification. She was filled with devotion for Krishna. That was her qualification. Recognizing Krishna gave that realization to her. She had, in addition to her qualification of devotion, she had another sub-quality, which was great humility. Because of her great humility, she felt herself unqualified. And she says it in later verses, explicitly, I'm unqualified. So how can I properly understand? After having explained all these things, shows that she clearly understands. So Her qualification was her devotion. Krishna reciprocated.
You expressed the meaning of Avyayam as inexhaustible, and then you also said that like that word has got many other.
Yeah, here is, he says irreproachable. Irreproachable. What's reproachable? If someone does something wrong, that's reproachable. Krishna can do no wrong. His stealing butter is irreproachable. It's his butter. He can do with his butter whatever he wants. He makes the rules of what you do with butter and what you don't do with butter. And he can break the rules, and when he breaks the rules, he's irreproachable. That's another. There's some others I can't think of right now.